Well, welcome to our final visit here from camp in St. Joe, the special edition of Chiefs Live. We've been here, when you consider the quarterbacks and rookies are here, we've been here 3 weeks. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs and the snapper.
Fake better.
In the fact that it's day to day, they're not concerned. You know, you and I talked afterwards. I remember texting you about it in terms of I wanted to make sure this is not a Liz Frank, because that's something that I almost had my first year when I was way back with the Steelers. And he assured everybody that no, they've talked to docs and it's not that, and it's just one of those things they'll keep watching. So I think that's a good thing, and it is what it is. You look at it. We talked about it. Yeah. I mean, people have hit in camp. You've really had a physical camp, and you had three people out today. That's pretty incredible.
That's incredible. Yeah. And one of the three was injured before pads even got put on the first day of rookies and quarterbacks being here. That was kind of a freaky thing.
And really, that's a testament to how they ran camp, the vets, what they were doing, and quite honestly, the training staff and conditioning staff and what they did and how they did things in the offseason. I mean, kudos to them.
Well, we're going to get into now some guys that we think flashed during this camp time in St. Joe. There is one more practice, by the way, if you're in the region and you want to come here to campus at Missouri Western State University. Will we be out there for practice tomorrow morning? Then the team will break camp on Thursday. They have a walkthrough, then head to Kansas City, and then the game against San Francisco on Friday night. But let's talk about it. I'm going to go down the line with these guys. This is your group that flashed. But you have loved Anthony Fasano, the pickup from the Miami Dolphins, throughout camp. What did you see?
You know what? I saw a guy who was even more mobile, Mitch, than I realized he was. And I thought he was good coming in. I thought it was a great pickup in the offseason for a lot of different reasons. And he's only gotten better. I mean, it's really been fun. He did a great job, the big third down conversion in the game this last week. On the field, I like the fact that he's catching the ball, he's moving around. I love the fact, quite honestly, that in camp he's lightening the mood as a veteran a little bit, and he catches a couple of touchdown passes and he kicks the ball into the crowd. I love that. But that's what you got to do sometimes. But he has done a nice job. The fact is, he can block as well.
I remember this guy when he just lit up the Chiefs as a Miami Dolphin, and I was excited to get him. Now, this tight end crew, we're going to go through three tight ends. Mm-hmm. They're all on your list, the top three tight ends, but it's kind of a blend of the way the whole roster is. Fasano, new veteran. Moeaki, returning veteran that has emerged, and then you got a new guy in Travis Kelce. But Fasano has been there every day, the fact that he's just been so consistent every day and doing good things. Tony Moeaki, to me, is one of the stories of this camp in St. Joe. You with me on this, and what'd you see with him?
Well, you are correct. He is one of the stories of this camp, because when you looked at what happened in the offseason in terms of you sign Fasano, then you go get Kelce in the third round, if you're Tony Moeaki, it'd be very easy to say, okay, I'm not in the plans, and things like that nature. He's done nothing but just come in and do his job and do it at a high level. Do it, quite honestly, folks, at a higher level than I've ever seen him do it. And when we previewed all the positions in camp, we talked about the tight ends group. Literally, folks, this literally may be the best tight ends group in the NFL, And I tell you, they are a special group. They're QB's best friend.
I know New Orleans thinks they did. We were just there, and they said, ooh, then we might have to, well, they got two. If you got three, give me a call, because the third is Travis Kelce, the rookie who, excited about him. Now, maybe kind of tailed off just a little bit in the last several days, but he was, the first 2 weeks, this guy was on fire.
Well, and looks like tight end, runs like wide receiver. That's a good combination. And in talking to him briefly early on in camp, this is a guy who was very humble. He's just happy to be playing the game. I like the fact, and I see this, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that his brother, who played with the Eagles under Coach Andy Reid, has talked to him, and I think he knew what to expect as much as he could, and I think he's been taught by his brother in terms of how you handle yourself in the NFL, and he's done exactly that. Certainly would have liked to have caught that ball in New Orleans, but when it comes down to it, he made a lot of plays in camp. I think you're only going to see him get better.
And the thing about all three of these guys, a blend of athleticism, speed, catching ability, but none of the three. And this is where Moeaki, I didn't get to mention this. Moeaki was physical in this camp, as physical as he's been. You've got the blend of physical and skill here.
You're right. And with that, Mitch, we talked about it a lot. I mean, just how he moved. He just seemed to have a better bounce in his step. I don't know. He caught the balls that were thrown at him. Just did a good job. And you're going to see him. You're seeing him split out to the right or the left also in literally a tight or a wide receiver position. So, you know what? It's matchups in the NFL, and you try to find the matchups and exploit them. And I think you're going to see tight ends exploiting the defense this year.
Okay, next on your list, and this is an intriguing one. In fact, he's so intriguing, we're going to talk about him before and after the break. But with Jamaal Charles with his foot strain out day to day, it has opened the door for Nile Davis. You've got him on your list. Why do you have him on your list?
You know what? I thought he did a great job coming into the NFL. The word was that maybe he had some injury issues and didn't hold on to the ball. I thought he did a good job. Number one, he's been out there every practice, and then he hasn't put the ball on the ground for the most part. So I like that. When I spoke to him, you know, he talked about certainly the game being faster. He talked about the fact that in college they didn't scan one to two linebacker-wise like they did, or like they do rather here. I think he's doing a good job of that. And I bring that up because what you just said, Mitch, in terms of Jamaal Charles being out, now Nile Davis is getting very, very important reps with the ones on all facets of the game, probably most importantly, blitz pickup. And certainly, Coach Reed has talked about it. If you're going to play in this offense, you're going to be able to do all three things. You're going to be able to block, you're going to be able to catch, and you're going to be able to pick up in pass coverage. So things like that, pass protection, rather. So I thought that was huge for him. I thought he had a nice game, and certainly it goes without saying the kickoff return was a big time as well.
We're going to hear from Nile later, so we're not going to give up on him. And I watched the practice tape today. There's some other things I liked about what he did today. Now, here's a surprising one on your list, because the fans know generally about these guys. They did not know or do know about Austin Lane, the guy that they picked up from Jacksonville in mid-June. You've got him on your list. Why?
You know what? He just flashed the entire camp in terms of his pass rush abilities. He's a big, long 6'6 athlete. Has done a nice job, and you know, he's the pickup. He was released in mid-offseason from the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just feel like he's done some good things. Now, I didn't see as much as I'd like to see this last New Orleans game, and then he had the rib injury. He was out there today, folks, but he was not practicing. I expect him to see him back. I'm sure he'll be at the game, I would expect. But he's got to continue to do it, or he's got to do it, rather, in the game and carry over what he's done in practice, because, quite honestly, he's had a great pass rush camp.
Yeah, and I'm going to be real interested to watch him. You and I both will for these next three preseason games. Vital for him to show up. Okay, the next guy on your list is, other than Alex Smith, in fact, he might be tied for him as having the best camp of any player on this roster, and it's Dontari Poe.
Yeah, Dontari Poe is a big, fluid athlete. Everybody's heard about the fact that at 340 pounds, he's dropped some weight. But you see right there as he gets by in the pass protection drill, he's using his hands so very well. And you can't say enough about a guy from the first year to the second year, like you see right there, getting his hands in there, and he's just a big mound of a guy. I mean, I'm telling you right now, when we watched him flow down the line of scrimmage in New Orleans, he moves like a linebacker. He does some good things. Practice today, or I guess yesterday it was, a ball gets tipped, folks. He dives to catch it and make the catch, twist his body while he's going. I mean, I'm telling you, 340-pound guys are not supposed to be able to do some of the things he's doing. You have reason to be very excited about number 92. I would say he's got to do it in the game. Well, he has, and I think he'll continue to do it. So very, very interesting, 92. And I would say, you say back and forth, I think maybe he had the best camp.
And if you're a Chiefs fan, this video has got to thrill you. Holly coming in on Drew Brees from his left. Coming from the right, Justin Houston. But there's nowhere to go for Drew Brees because Poe is coming up the middle. No way to step up into the pocket. If that sequence is repeated throughout the year, starting with week one against the Jaguars, you're going to love this defensive football team. Now, another guy, this might be a bit of a surprise, a veteran, but fans don't really know who Quentin Demps is. You've got him on your list.
I like him. You know, when Eric Berry was out early in camp with a little twinge in his hamstring, Quentin stepped in for him and did a nice job, got a lot of reps. You know, I think the coaching staff had a comfort level with him coming in because, you know, they brought him into the league in Philadelphia. Then he went on a couple years, I forget where now, but had three, I think, with Philadelphia. They liked the fact that he could return kicks, and they felt like he could be a four-core special teams guy. And I think he showed a lot in the secondary as well. So this is a guy that I think only bolsters what I think is a very, very strong secondary to begin with.
Next up, I believe, is Houston, if I'm not mistaken. Now, another guy with a blend. We talked about the tight ends. We've talked about the fullbacks a lot the last 2.5 to 3 weeks. But Anthony Sherman, when the Chiefs made the trade to trade Javier Arenas to Arizona to get Anthony Sherman, people were like, what? Why is he on?
You know what? And I was like that, too. I was like, what? Because I honestly didn't know him. And now I understand what. The guy does a great job blocking, which certainly a fullback has to do. But we saw in this last game that the pass out in the flat did a nice job catching the ball and getting some big yards. You know, Coach Reed talked about the fact that if you're a fullback in this offense, you can't just be another offensive lineman back there. You've got to be able to block, certainly, but you've got to be able to run with the ball, and you've got to be able to catch the ball. And it appears that number 42 can do all those.
Yeah, great sequence in that game against the Saints, and then had the power block at the goal line to allow Jamaal Charles to get the touchdown. So it's exciting to see what Anthony Sherman can do. And then finally on your list is Alex Smith. This guy is like bringing food to a hungry table. He has been a breath of fresh air.
He really has, Mitch. And, you know, you expect the QB coming in. He was the first signee and the big offseason acquisition of the new regime. So you're like, okay, he's bound to do good. But he surpassed even what I expected. And folks, what I'm talking about what I think he's doing so very well is he's a pitcher in the major league, and he's spotting his pitches. He's putting balls at different places, down at the hip, up high, down low, wherever it needs to be to where the receiver can get it, but the defender cannot. He's just done a nice job with that. I think he's very aware of ball security and doesn't make the crazy throws when he has to get rid of it. We saw it in New Orleans this week, Mitch. He got rid of it, just did a nice job. He seems to have a complete command of the offense. In fact, actually, I think Coach Reed talked about the fact that they were so far into things because he kept asking for more and more and more. And as he came along with it, he brought the team along with him, and that's only good things.
Here's where he surprised me, and I shouldn't have been surprised, his athleticism. He can run like a deer. He makes a play today. All dogs go. Here they come with like three guys on a blitz on one side. He's got a 5-7, five-step drop. He gets to 7, to 9, to 11, moves to his right, and hits McCluster on a perfect throw in between coverage. It's just a unique play, but this guy's athletic ability is what has flashed to me.
Well, Mitch, you're right, and talk about that more. You've seen that throughout camp. He continues to extend plays, doesn't he?
Yeah, and that the Chiefs have not had a quarterback like that in a while. And extending plays, it's just the two plays of the drive you alluded to against the Saints. He avoids a sack. They weren't positive plays statistically, but they were huge plays to keep the drives going. So, yeah, and leadership, everything. So far, he's at an A grade in this camp.
Right,
A.
And you said they weren't positive yards, but they weren't negative. And that's that's the big thing. You don't put yourself in second or third and long.
Okay, let's go back into talk about Nile Davis here. The other thing today in practice, he gets all those reps that Jamaal was getting. But he was doing a great job in blitz pickups. So what about repetitions in camp, particularly when you're a blitz pickup as a rookie running back in the league? How valuable are those?
Well, they're so valuable. You're not kidding about that. And the fact is, he has to be comfortable with it. And once he's comfortable, who also has to be comfortable with it is number 11. Alex Smith, as a QB, has to be comfortable with the fact that the guys behind him and in front of him know what they're doing and are going to be where they need to be. And you know what? I don't care who you are and how well you've done. If you're a rookie, you have to prove yourself over and over again. And right now, that's what Nile Davis is doing. He's doing a great job. I'm going to tell you right now, from running the ball, I've talked about it each and every time that we've discussed him. 5'10", 230, big lower body, perfect size running back. If he holds on to the ball, he stays healthy, he's got a chance to really contribute this year. And he's really caught the ball well out of the backfield as well.
And just throwing a 79-yard kickoff return against the New Orleans Saints. But for Nile now, it's been an opportunity for him, but this camp, he has approached it in the proper way that a rookie should handle it. Transition to training camp now with everybody here. What has it been like for you?
It's been great, man. Get all the vets back, get to learn a little more because, you know, they're vets, they know what they're doing, and they're definitely helping us out a lot.
You stayed out here longer than any player on the team. You stayed out here longer than 90 guys to get some extra work in. What's that about?
Well, I've been kind of dropping kickoff returns. It's something I haven't did, you know, pretty much my whole life. It's something new, so the only way to get good at something is repetition.
What about the ability to return kicks and what that means for you and potentially for this team?
I pretty much got here. The hype around my name is just speed, you know, and the coaches know that. I just got to get the ball in my hand, and then who knows what can happen.
He's the rookie that made your list along with Travis Kelce, so a couple rookies there, but I think we're both excited to see where Nile can go. If he stays healthy, he can help this team in a lot of ways. Another guy who can as well is Nico Johnson. We focused on him early in camp in the battle against Akeem Jordan. How has he done week to week here in St. Joe?
I think he's done well. I'm not going to say that he's flashed, but he's been solid, and I think he's got to get comfortable with the defense and how they do things. Had a couple tackles, Mitch, in the game. Did a nice job. When I have watched him, I think he takes good angles. I think he's a very fundamentally sound tackler. Gets to the ball, gets his head across, and I think he packs a punch. I think if you're a fullback and you're leaning on him, you're not real happy about that because this guy is a thumper. He does some good things. I'm going to tell you right now, when you talk to the young man, you know, he's just as his class as can be, and certainly with his situation, and he talked about in New Orleans, his grandmother being there, and you know, aside from his team, playing for his grandmother and his two nephews who were there, having lost his mother several years ago, this is just a guy who's really got it together.
What have you seen from his coverage skills? Because that's the challenge for him coming into St. Joe's and improving.
You know, honestly, he has to work on his coverage skills. I think they're getting better, but he has to work on his lateral movement. I think he would tell you that as well, because you're never a finished product in the NFL. You're always trying to get better. But in this day and age, also, you've got your thumper like he is. Sometimes when you go into your nickel and your dime, from the way the Chiefs have run things a lot, they're bringing the dime backer up, and that may be an Eric Berry or somebody like that. So I don't think it's as much of a hindrance if he can't play on the pass situation. But, again, he needs to be able to at least drop into a good zone coverage on first or second down and at least be able to recognize, redirect the tight ends, and then come up and make the plays when he has to.
Before we're going to break, we always want to kind of get what's on your mind, kind of empty out our mailbox here before we go to break. And one of the questions was, how much will the ones play against San Francisco? Andy Reid hasn't definitively said this, but I think he's hinting towards the fact that maybe another series for the offense and defense in this game, possibly two series for the ones?
I would agree. I think you're going to see two series for sure, possibly three, depending on how that second one goes, but no more than that, in my opinion.
It'll be a challenge. San Francisco, of course, many think the prohibitive favorite to win the NFC. It's a packed roster. They've had tons of injuries, but still, and you mentioned with the emotion involved with Alex Smith with his whole team, you know, kind of downplayed that. We'll get that after the break. But, again, we want to handle what you've got on your mind, and we'll even deal with some of that when we come back. Plus, if you're going to Arrowhead Stadium Friday night, we have got a big-time announcement that you need to know before you head to the stadium. We'll have all that when we come back on this final edition of Chiefs Live from St. Joe at Missouri Western State University. Welcome back to St. Joe, this final edition from here on campus of Chiefs Live. Next week, we'll come to you with a weekly show from Kansas City. Okay, everybody's excited about the San Francisco game and going to Arrowhead and open up the doors for the first time for the 2013 season. Kendall, you have an item. That is very important to everyone who will be attending this game.
Yes, it is. This is what you'll be permitted to bring in. This size, I think it's a 12 by 12 clear package. These, from the season ticket holder side of things, they can pick these up at some predetermined places, I believe. And just so you'll know, I mean, this is not a Chiefs thing. This is an NFL wide thing, and it's for the own our own safety in every sense of the imagination. So this will make it all easy, because we know from some folks being down in New Orleans last week, there are no exceptions. They're going to make you empty things and go into some other stuff, and it can be very, very painful. So it is what it is.
And spread the word to all of your friends so they could rid themselves of some frustration. On Friday night when they come to the stadium, it's going to be this way. Again, bags that are clear plastic, vinyl, or PVC and do not exceed 12 by 12 by 6, 1 gallon clear zip seal bags would be permitted. Small clutch bags, approximately the size of a hand. Also, those with medical needs will be granted an exemption with proper exception at designated gates. And then also, you can go to goarrowhead.com / all clear for more information, so that your experience is a great one on Friday night. But here again, you can pick up these bags beforehand, try to find those. It just saves you a lot of angst. But again, the league is trying to be, they want to make the stadium experience as safe as possible, and this is that part of that initiative.
Well, Mitch, I would reiterate, goarrowhead.com / all clear, because we're giving you the details as we have it, but certainly they'll have everything on there. Any questions you have, it'll be right there.
Besides, these are kind of cool.
I like it.
We could do a lot of things with these, even after the game. Okay.
We digress. Again.
Let's talk about Alex Smith here a little bit. I mean, he has been the story of the camp along with Dontari Poe, but Alex Smith has impressed a lot of folks. We've talked about his accuracy, but the Chiefs acted swiftly. Andy Reid knew this guy from his days back at the University of Utah. They didn't waste any time when Andy Reid and John Dorsey got in place to make the trade to go get Alex Smith. I had not seen a guy this accurate since a Rich Gannon 97, Joe Montana 94. He'll be the first quarterback other than a Warren Moon who only started one game. Let's really go back to Montana, who has won a playoff game that will start for the Chiefs. This guy with Alex Smith, off the field, what have you seen?
Well, off the field, you love him. I feel like he's a leader off the field with the players, getting them together. You and I talked about the fact when we were at DJ's fundraiser in the offseason, he's there with all the guys. He's talking football. I just like how he holds himself. He is one of those guys. He's a natural leader. People are drawn to him without him having to do anything. And we've all been around those type of people where, for whatever reason, they have an aura about them. You just want to be around them. They're not cocky. They're not conceited. They're not stuck up. They're just good people, and you want to be around them. He's one of those people. It's hard to explain, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
But he does come across as being very confident.
Yeah, absolutely, and you have to be. I'm going to tell you right now, in the NFL, certainly.
Yep. Our own Len Dawson, Kendall, I work with him, of course, in every game on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network. Len Dawson had a chance to give some observations on Alex Smith with our Rachel Sanchi.
So, Lenny, what are some of your thoughts on Alex Smith?
Good-looking guy. I mean, yes. I've had the opportunity to talk to him a couple of times, and I like him. I think he's going to be really a great asset to Kansas City and to the football team. And this is another opportunity for him, something that I know something about, of not being successful the first couple of stops that I made, but then eventually got to Kansas City. And so with him, I talked to him a little while ago, and he's very happy with the training camp. He's happy with the way things are going. He's happy that he's not getting knocked down a whole lot out here before the regular games get underway, but he's going to be a good player.
Now, there's some depth at the quarterback position that we haven't had in a while. What are your thoughts on that, and what do you think it does for the team?
You never know when somebody's going to go down. All you have to do is ask Alex Smith, because what happened last year, he's going along throwing at a 70% clip, pass rating of over 100, and he gets injured, and he never sees the field again. So you're just one play away from being out of there. So depth is very important. So the other quarterbacks who are here, they have to show their stuff as well, because you never know when it might be your turn.
And as you said, you had to fight your way to the top. You had to push to get there. There's a competition going on right now with the third quarterback spot. What do you think about Tyler and Ricky?
I think I've watched out here today, and the coaching staff is getting both of them involved, which is good. You know, sometimes you go along with four quarterbacks that maybe one of them won't get much of an opportunity during the practice session when you're going against the defense. But they've got it so that they're going to make sure that each guy is going to have an opportunity. That's all you can ask for in this business, an opportunity to see how well you can do. And so they're getting that opportunity, and they're going to find out, you know, at the end of the day, who's going to be here.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about something. When you study Len Dawson's career, are there some similarities with the way he played the game? Because he still has some NFL records for accuracy, and the way Alex approaches it?
Well, you just said it in the accuracy, and that's the first similarity I see, is how accurate they both were. I look at how the Chiefs are moving the pocket a little bit this year, and that's something that Len Dawson was the first to do a lot of, and back then, and he'll tell you he was calling the plays, so maybe he was just doing it out of necessity, but he was good at it, I'll tell you that. And then the one thing I see also when you hear both of them speak is you see a quiet, humble confidence. Like you said, you have to be confident, but very humble and a true team leader, and I like that a lot.
A guy that we mentioned this before the break, but a guy that I'm excited about, because people were talking about him not even making the team, or did he have a future? Not only does he have a future, he's got a real strong part of this team, is Tony Moiaki. And again, the fact that he's been physical in this camp, he's been in shape, he's made big plays. But I want to ask you, it's not like he has to do it. I mean, yes, he does if he's a primary receiver, but it's not like he's the only guy that can do what he does, because Kelce and Fasano can do the same thing. How much pressure does that take off him?
I think it's big for him, and I think he's just realizing that he just needs to do what he can do, and everything else will take care of itself. Certainly, he's been asked a lot about, you know, what do you think about the other two tight ends and this and that. He's like, listen, he goes, I'm just going out there. I'm just trying to do my job to the best of my ability, do what the coaches ask me, and then everything else, I think, will take care of itself. I think he's, to a degree, and to your point, he's kind of taken the pressure off of himself.
Yeah, very good. Our Rachel Sanchi caught up with Tony Moiaki. Remember, his most profound catch to this point in his career was a one-handed grab that became a YouTube sensation against San Francisco in 2010. The 49ers are back in town. What's Tony think about that and this camp?
Tony, you look rejuvenated out there. What have you been doing this offseason?
Really, I was just working with the strength staff, with Barry, Travis, and the training staff, training room staff, Rick, Aaron. You know, a lot of credit goes to them. They were really on top of, you know, me and making sure everything was going well.
How is this tight end group doing with the addition of Fasano and Kelce?
I think we're getting better. You know, we're having our highs and lows like any camp for any position. And we just got to keep getting better, keep pushing, just staying focused. And, you know, I think good things will come if we just stay on that track.
Now, there seems to be a certain value placed on the tight end position in this offense. What do you like about this system?
We have a lot on our plate in the system, and that's what we like. We're all over the place. We just got to, you know, keep getting better, like I said, and make plays when our number's called.
Excited about him and excited about this team as now we approach into the next phase of training camp. All right, we're going to close it out with the chat that I had with Andy Reid. Before we do, your final comments on basically this almost 3 weeks in St. Joe, and really over 3 weeks when the quarterbacks and rookies were here. You've been in this league a long time. What did you see the last 3 weeks?
I saw a quality plan that was put together and executed from the head coach on down. And I saw players that were following and had belief in the leader. Not only the head coach, but the QB. And then on the defensive side of the ball also, I think from DJ to new people like Sean Smith to Donte Robinson, who's not a starter, but I think is great in the locker room and is going to help a lot. Of course, B. Flowers, you go with the linebackers. A lot of people stepping up, and that's really to be admired, and it's really, really important to me to note the fact that the turnaround you've seen, I mean, this team was 2-14 last year, Mitch. Nobody would imagine that after being at this camp and being around this team this offseason. The pendulum has completely swung, and that's really, really been fun to watch, and I've just been so glad that I've been able to be around it at such a close pace.
We've been doing this almost 3 weeks. There's people we need to thank that busted their butt to make sure you had the chance to be at camp basically every day. Adam Pelle Pellegrino, Evan the Hammer Miller, Kevin Brebs Brebner was great with this. Rachel Sanchez, we mentioned, Reed Farron, part of our staff here, Matt Israel. I'm going to leave some people out that were just on it during this time that worked morning until evening, making sure a lot of things could happen here. When you follow this team on kcchiefs.com, but also for us, for you and I on this specific show. It's been fun, and they have done a terrific job, and I want to thank them for their efforts.
Well, certainly, and you can't go, you're not going to thank yourself, but folks, you need to understand what this guy pours into the team and how he lives up here, eats, breathes, sleeps it, and helps out in so many different ways. So to you, I thank you for all your help. This has been a great time. Being there with practice with you every day, being able to discuss things. Folks, I understand that you didn't play the game, but you did play the game, and you do play the game each and every day, and that's to be admired. Folks, you don't know what type of pro you got right here.
Well, I'm going to give it back at you. I see a ducky and a horsey, then he sees like the painting at the Sistine Chapel. That's what I'm saying. The guy, he didn't play in the league 15 years for nothing. Anyway, enjoy this team. Get ready. The Kansas City Chiefs are back on the radar of the National Football League, hoping to ever go back to the level they were at in 2012. 2013 should be a different year for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the biggest reason of all that we've given you over the last 13 shows spanning over almost 3 weeks is the man I had a chance to talk to. This guy, 130 career wins, he gets it, and he's leading your team.
You had stated when you made the decision to come to Kansas City that a lot of that was due to the Hunt family and working with them and with Clark Hunt. Specifically with this training camp, how has it been in that regard?
The Hunts have given us everything we need to have a successful training camp and thus putting ourselves in position to do the best we possibly can during the season. There hasn't been a thing that they haven't accommodated us with, and they've said, whatever you need to get this thing rolling, let's do it.
You told me at the end of mini camp, I've challenged these guys, but wait till camp. A lot of padded practices. What about the response to the challenge from your team?
Mitch, you know, the one thing I was looking at was they worked so hard in the offseason. I'm going, boy, if they can carry this over to this training camp, because it is going to be demanding, that's going to be something special. So they did. I mean, they came back in great shape, particularly the bigs. The big fellas, that's normally the guys that struggle a little bit, and they pounded their way through it. And they've come up here with just this workmanlike attitude, and they're trying to get better every day. So are we there yet? No, we're not there. We've got a long way to go, but they're working like crazy to get there.
Coaching staff, been impressive, very impressive. Now you got offensive coaches working against defensive coaches, but what about the cohesion on the staff where some days one of the others taking the lead?
Yeah, listen, we call like we see it. So some days the offense is going to do well, some days the defense is going to do well, some days it's going to be trading blows, and both of them have good plays and bad plays. I just expect the competition. That's all it is. With that competition, we're going to become a better football team. I want them to compete like crazy against each other. And then when it's done, hey, you got me this time, but you know what? We're going to come back and get you the next time. And then that's what we've got.
How do you get the toughness, but yet doesn't become divisive, offense to defense or players battling for the same position?
Well, there's competition, but we're all in the same family here. So are they excited to go hit somebody else by the time we get to today? Yeah, they are. That's what they're looking for, is that opportunity to go play against another set of bodies. But right now you challenge each other to do your job, to sustain your job. You're also competing against, if I'm on an offensive player, I'm competing against the defense against the offense. So I expect them to challenge each other there, and with that, you become a better football team. That's the attitude that they've had, and they've represented every day that they've been here.